Because so many of the issues challenging our society today involve government, politics, and religion, they also demand the involvement of Interfaith Alliance. Joining me right now is Alliance President Rabbi Jack Moline. Jack, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
It's always great to be with you, Welton.
Well, there's been some significant news made at the Commission on International Religious Freedom, so let's start there.
We have the specter of Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council and Gary Bauer, formerly the Family Research Council, and a number of other characters of the religious right, who are suddenly the foxes put in charge of the hen house. It's important for people to remember that there are a number of different entities in the executive and legislative branch that appoint representatives to this commission. And many of these folks from the religious right have been appointed by not just the administration, but by members of Congress, including the leaders of the majority in the House and the Senate. There are two more appointees yet to be named by the leaders of the minority parties in the House and the Senate. But it is pretty remarkable that in an attempt to pander to the base, we have the specter of people who have been on the record as condemning basic human rights and rejecting the notion of religious pluralism, keeping an eye on the behavior of countries other than our own when they can't behave themselves in our own country.
Yeah. The as I understand it, the chair of the commission is going to remain the same. So what's the potential for major different directions?
So, well, I think that one of the things that we get a little sanguine about is that these commissions have no legislative power. The commission meets, it makes recommendations, and it evaluates material that is put in front of it. But we shouldn't be too sanguine about that because, honestly, these are the faces of America that are turned toward our partners in the world who are struggling with questions of religious freedom. We are faced with countries that oppress Muslim minorities. We are faced with countries that have the severest of penalties for people who profess a tradition other than the majority. And we are faced with countries who, on a religious basis, have ordered punishment as severe as execution for people who are lesbian, gay, or transgender. And when the folks who sit on the commission that are the watchdogs for international religious freedom are people who have, if not gone to those extremes, at least turned a blind eye to them, it delivers the message that America is not prepared to stand up for the values that you and I have been fighting for years to guarantee to the citizens of our own country.
You know, I've found through the years in talking with leaders in other governments that there's not always a clear understanding of what religious freedom means and the implications of it in policy and so forth. And so we move from David Saperstein talking about religious freedom to the people that we've been mentioning, and I can see foreign governments scratching their heads saying they don't have it together on what religious freedom is themselves.
I think it's actually worse than that. I think that what Ambassador Saperstein represented was something aspirational, and it indicated that our country was still struggling to reach that aspired ideal and was willing to help other countries do it as well. Now we have a group of people who aspire to something completely different, which is to roll back the celebration of pluralism that has become more and more the norm in this country. And it will not really confuse governments that are not committed to true religious freedom. It will empower them. And that's very frightening for our fellow citizens of the world and for those of us who belong to a faith community represented outside the shores of the United States. It's a danger.
Well, Jack, I want to go from there to some really good news and something very positive that's going on. On Thursday night, Interfaith Alliance co-hosted a very special iftar dinner. Talk about what that is and what made it so special.
I want to start by saying that this was a quiet affair to begin what I hope will be a remarkable set of partnerships. The Human Rights Campaign, which is the premier LGBTQ organization in the United States, hosted an iftar for friends and future friends in the interfaith community to indicate their support for the concerns and for the freedoms of American Muslims. And it was a remarkable night, populated by lots of people who took this important but tentative step of two communities not known for their close cooperation toward each other. And we were addressed by the remarkable Khizr Khan, who all America will remember from the Democratic National Convention in 2016, and Interfaith Alliance supporters will remember from last year's Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Award. A remarkable man, an American Muslim, a Gold Star parent, whose vision of America is exactly what we hope will be the antidote to the other things we've been talking about this morning.
It's a great piece of work on your part, too, and we're all indebted to you for that. Jack, we're hearing about a lot of different interreligious iftar meals. The same goes for seders and other rituals being shared by people of different faith traditions. Why is that particularly important right now?
So, earlier this week, I attended an interfaith iftar at the Embassy of the United Arab Emirates. And I know that we at Interfaith Alliance are focused on First Amendment rights in the United States. But I was invited personally by the ambassador to be one of three clergy, including a priest and an imam, to speak in the tent that was set up outside the UAE embassy about exactly this question. Ambassador Yusuf Al-Otaiba began the evening by suggesting that the kind of hospitality that was typical on Ramadan should not be something that's limited to one day or one month a year, but it should be the norm for all of us to experience each other's culture, each other's hospitality, and the warmth of relationship. I think it is especially important that these interfaith gatherings are happening during Ramadan because Americans need a different model of thinking about Muslims than they have been offered by so many people in our current government and by so many unfortunate depictions in the general media and in political discourse. The diversity of people who were in the room, both from the Muslim community itself and from the many different Abrahamic and non-Abrahamic faiths that were represented there, in a context of Muslim hospitality, is an important antidote to Muslim bans and registries and media depictions that have become far too prevalent in America.
I don't want to leave the impression that all of this always goes smoothly without any objections, because there are objections to, of course, ranging from charges of cultural appropriation to concerns that the significance of the ritual can be lost. Talk for a moment about responding to those.
I think it's extraordinarily important that when a faith community seeks to create an environment in which other people are invited to participate, that the event has the integrity of being presided over by people who know what they're doing and who take things seriously. We've often complained about the diminution of American observances, like the upcoming Memorial Day holiday, where the basic ritual seems to be buying a mattress. We don't want that to happen to the sacred seasons that are part of the many faith and philosophical communities in the United States. So I'm always happy to be a guest at an iftar, and I'm even happy to help sponsor an iftar, as we did this past Thursday evening, as long as it is under the supervision, the direction of people who feel that their faith is being honored. And that's why I'm always glad to have people who are non-Jews at my Passover Seder. You were a guest in my home memorably a few years ago.
Yes.
But I object when a church appropriates that as a depiction of the Last Supper, because it's a sacred Jewish ritual.
Right.
And it's why Christmas trees and creche scenes are important for Americans of the Christian faith, so that they can spread the message of peace on earth and goodwill towards all, but should not be appropriated as a secular symbol or used as some sort of weapon in a culture war that's being mounted by the religious right. I hope we're doing this right, but I'm very glad that you're asking that question, because it has to be asked at every juncture.
Jack, I'm out of time, but before we go, tell us one other really important thing that's going on at Interfaith Alliance and how listeners can get involved in any part of the Interfaith Alliance work.
So very quickly, I will tell you that thanks to the generosity of the Baugh Foundation in San Antonio, Texas, we are about to re-engage a policy person for Interfaith Alliance who will be able to help us up our game, be more of a presence on Capitol Hill, and provide more information and more encouragement to those of us who are part of this effort to protect faith and freedom. And our listeners should be watching for more stuff on State of Belief and on our website and coming in the mail to them. And we would be delighted to give our new policy person more of a staff, and there's somebody out there who can help us do that.
Rabbi Jack Moline is president of Interfaith Alliance, protecting true faith and freedom. Jack, you sure do have your hands full. I hope you get a chance to take a break for the Memorial Day weekend and know how much we appreciate what you're doing. Thanks, as always, for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
Welton, it is a delight to know that I can reach all the way from Washington, D.C. to Monroe, Louisiana, and have a partner who's reaching back at me.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, I want to say a sincere thank you. If you think there's value in the conversations we present and the voices we amplify in the midst of the gridlock our public rhetoric too often becomes, please make your contribution today. Find more information at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.